The Mind of Business Success podcast is the place for high-growth business owners to fill their mind with game-changing strategies and principles for success in life and business. I'm your host, Alicia Kramer. Enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Mind of Business Success podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Kramer. Our guest today is David Weaver. We're going to talk about franchises. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me, Alicia. This is fun.
It is going to be a great conversation. It is different than any that I've had so far with any other guests. Just so our audience has a frame of reference, I want to talk just a little bit about what you're doing in your business, because this is an opportunity. This is a wealth creation opportunity. It's a legitimate business here that we're talking about. What is it that you do with Franchise Your Freedom?
Thanks for asking. So the way I describe my business is I'm a business investor in franchise. What I tell candidates is I invest in franchise assets, real estate assets, and I do the franchise consulting in addition to that. So I guess I would say that my day job, if I have one, is franchise consulting. And in franchise consulting, I am sharing my investment strategy with folks who've never done that before to help them identify what franchise business might be a good investment for them by sharing my investment philosophy in how do you find a business that you would invest in, right? In that way, I act a little bit like an executive recruiter in the franchise space, more so than like a business broker or even a franchise salesperson, because I'm not selling any franchise. Like, I'm selling the idea of business ownership is better than corporate America, if that makes sense.
It does. And so now we're talking to people who already have that mindset. They don't want to work at a corporate job, which is why they own a business. But a lot of people, I speak from experience. Some people just have that entrepreneurial spirit, which is a little bit different than just being a business owner, where you've got your singular business, and that's your thing. So you're not working for someone else. You're working for yourself. It is your business. And maybe you even grow that business into a multi-million dollar business, but it's still just a singular business. Then you've got the entrepreneur, a little bit different mindset, you know, and a lot of people have their own definition of what entrepreneur means or what business owner means. But I'll share my opinion, because that's all it is. That's all we've got, right? It's just our opinions.
Yep.
But that entrepreneur, the serial entrepreneur, the person who's sort of that bigger vision thinker, they're not looking at just, I don't want just one business, right? I want to, or maybe they don't want to just grow something from scratch, right? They're thinking different. They're thinking like an investor. They're thinking of business a little bit differently. It's more about almost building out your own personal empire through little different business ventures in some cases, or perhaps even multiple locations in terms of franchising. So now I'd love your two cents. I'd love your opinion on this, because you're working with people who are buying franchises. So what's the mindset there for those individuals?
There's a couple of good questions in there. So I work with a lot of different kinds of people, right? Different investors in their different phase of their investment career. So I will work with a lot of people that are what I consider mom and pops, right? They got a good corporate job. They might be in transition in corporate America, and they're looking to small business for the first time. Franchising makes sense. On the other hand, I also work with private equity firms that now see franchising and multi-unit franchising as a good vehicle for scalability. I've been part of the entrepreneurs organization for years. I'm I, since COVID, I have not continued with that, but I was in part of EO for probably 10 years there. And I worked with a lot of EO folks. And for those of your audience that don't know what the Entrepreneurs Organization is, it is a global organization of business owners that are roughly $1 million to say $10 million in revenue, typically 10 employees to 50 employees size. So not huge companies, but your successful small companies. And many of those folks are also candidates that I work with, right? So successful business owners that maybe they're not bored in their business, but they've built their business to the point where it doesn't need them anymore. And as an entrepreneur, that maybe doesn't feel that great, right? So I have to go find something else to conquer or sell my company and go do something else, right? And so a lot of times franchising is a wonderful second business to start because I want a second business, or maybe I've got a second lieutenant in company A that's so good that if I don't figure something good for them to do, they're going to go on and do something on their own, and they should. So franchising is great. I'll start the franchise, front the money, and you run it and own it, and I'll, you know, let you earn equity into that company, but I'm not going to let you have equity in my baby. Really cool solution to that problem, right? Because I'm sure a lot of business owners in your in your listening audience have run into that if they've been successful. So getting to your mindset, I often talk to candidates about the franchisee mindset versus the entrepreneur's mindset. And I put it into three buckets that make it fairly easy, because franchising is not for everybody, right? Business ownership is certainly not for everybody. And it comes down to kind of where your head is as it relates to what you're looking for. So I often say people are either an employee, right? They don't have the risk tolerance to take the step outside of the chicken coop if you're Robert Kiyosaki, right? And live on their own. But if you're an entrepreneur, you're the type of person that wants that business typically to be built around you, right? Like, it's important to you that you select the right colors for your website and do all the marketing. You want your thumbprint on every blog post, et cetera. That's the entrepreneur. I'm building the business around me, and therefore, the business is an extension of me. And as that business grows to 150 employees, a lot of entrepreneurs still have that business really, really sticky to them. The employee is the one that doesn't have the risk tolerance. The franchisee is neither. They've gone through corporate America. They have a lot of confidence. They know how to hire and fire employees. They know how to run a business department division to a P&L statement. And they really honestly don't want to ask for permission anymore. That's really that. But they also don't feel any need to have their thumbprint on the business, right? They value and appreciate that somebody else has built a process to follow, or a system, a proven model, and all they have to do is execute against the model. And they're happy to have somebody else build the model as long as they get to execute it. And if they're successful in executing it, they get all the benefits of business ownership. That's what I love about franchising. And that, to me, the middle person is the franchisee. So you've got the employee mindset, the franchisee mindset, and the entrepreneur mindset. They're all different.
That is a really good visual representation. And I think it's something that is easy for people to identify with. So a lot of people know what bucket they're going to fit into. But I also love that you shared that there sometimes is that perfect solution for the business owner who needs to sort of get their hands a little bit in something else, or they're even seeing it as an opportunity to grow their money. So it's an investment. Now, I want to talk to you about something a little bit different, not entirely off topic, but I think it's a really, really valuable conversation to have for our audience. And this is sort of centered around the mindset piece, because when we're talking about any type of business endeavor, it doesn't matter if it's your own personal business, you have your own personal business, right? Your business may include owning franchises, but you also are a consultant. So you're sort of wearing multiple different hats here, but you're also seeing people and some of the mindset stuff that they're bumping up against. And I think it's really important for us to always look at the reality of business ownership and just this journey of even creating success and financial, wealth for yourself, for your family, that there are these things that we're always bumping up against. Now, a lot of us did not grow up in environments with affluent parents who had a really great prosperity consciousness and were, not adverse to risk, right? We grew up in environments where maybe there was a lot of scarcity, or there was fear, or there was lack, or maybe there wasn't a lot of belief in what's possible and what we can do. And, playing it safe meant not doing the things that are the things that we need to do to grow our business and financially. So as I present that question to you and from your own perspective, as well as the people that you're working with, before we even started the recording, you had mentioned, a lot of this is mindset stuff. The process of picking out what franchise you're going to own, that's pretty straightforward. But it's all that mindset stuff that people are bumping up against. So what are you seeing people wrestling with when it comes to growing their business, growing their self financially?
So I, what is it that people are bumping up against is interesting, because it's a lot of different things, right? So I'll pick a couple of the most common. Anytime, and I don't care if you're a seasoned entrepreneur and you've built three companies before, anytime any of us get into something, into the unknown, something that we're not used to, we're not comfortable with, whether you're starting to play golf at 45 years old or, getting into yoga or something that's completely outside your comfort zone, there is a natural anxiety, nervousness, second guessing, right? We were talking earlier about the imposter syndrome, right? Like that happens with everybody that buys a franchise that I've worked with. And I've been doing this for over 10 years. I've helped thousands of people evaluate different franchise brands. I've created hundreds of actual business owners. I'm super passionate about creating business owners in this country, because in my opinion, business owners get to make the biggest impact on our communities, right? I just love that. So what holds us back is fear of change, fear of the unknown, and what dispels fear is knowledge, right? So my entire process, I've got a six-step defined process to increase that knowledge base, which will dispel that fear, and hopefully get you to the point where you can make a decision and move forward. So again, one of the things that's wonderful about franchising, and this may be a little bit of my own ADHD, I've owned lots of different kinds of companies in the past, and it's because I get bored in about 3 to 5 years. So I like building. Once the business starts working, and whichever, most people would be like, this is great, I'm like, okay, what else can I do? Right. So I typically will have a manager run it as best I can, and or sell it and go do something different. So that's what I love about franchising. Fear holds us back. The other thing that I work a lot with, especially with, I would say my candidate base is probably 75-25 or 70-30 to the corporate executives buying a business for the first time, right? So the biggest thing that I work with them is this mentality of this employee mentality, right? And helping them pivot to an entrepreneurial mindset. Entrepreneurs see in terms of opportunity, employees see, you know, inside the box, outside the box. But also this, one of the things that, I don't know how to put this exactly. There is a mindset of entitlement with an employee that doesn't really exist in business ownership. And what I mean by that is, if I'm an employee, I will work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and you will pay me X, right? That's the contract. So it's not the employee's fault, but 30, 40 years of doing that creates a mindset, right? And if I work up the chain, then I have this kind of responsibility and you owe me great benefits and you owe me 401k matching and you, right? Well, entrepreneurs don't have any of that, right? Franchise owners don't have any of that. So what the fun part is identifying some of these self-limiting beliefs that are attached to this employee entitlement, which is a negative way of saying this is just the way the system is built, right? But the fun part is sharing with people what's on the out, you know, what's outside the chicken coop, right? And what's outside on the other side of the fence, because yes, 401k is an important thing to invest in. Did you know that you can not pay taxes and not pay early withdrawal penalties and then use your 401k or retirement dollars to invest in a business that you own and control yourself? A lot of people don't know that. Did you know that a lot of people are, let's say the husband is the spouse that wants to be the business owner and the wife is the spouse that wants the husband to keep a day job. That's pretty common, but it's also very similar. You know, it's the same for the other gender as well. We can't touch our retirement. That is an absolute sacred cow. We never touch retirement dollars, right? Okay. Were you aware of business owners can put 57,000, I think this year, 15, it may be 59,000 into their retirement as a business owner, whereas employees is like 20,000, right? So when you share knowledge that if you change your trajectory and the way that you're viewing how long it's going to take you to get a retirement or how safe your retirement looks like, you know, you can change somebody's life by opening their perspective, which is the most fun that I have in my consulting business, which is why I continue to do it when I have all, you know, other investments that allow me to, as I say, work in the space of choice.
So you fall into the classic serial entrepreneur.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, you'd call it that. A little bit. But you had a couple of nuggets of gold in there. So you brushed over them somewhat quickly. So I'm gonna revive them, if you will.
Please, rein me in. Rein me in, Alicia.
So you talked about the fear of the unknown, and it's huge. And this is what I am always wanting to convey to my clients as well. You could be incredibly successful in some other endeavor. Maybe you actually were very successful in your corporate career, and now you're stepping into your own business for the very first time. And you are bumping up against all of the insecurities and the imposter syndrome. Who am I to be doing this? You could have had a very, very, very nice income before, and by other people's standards, actually have a pretty, pretty good money mindset, and still be facing something that is completely new and unknown to you. And all of those feelings of inadequacy and who am I to be doing this and all of that stuff, that's natural. It's normal. It's okay. It doesn't mean you can't be successful. It doesn't mean you won't be successful. It just means you've got some inner work to do. You talked about the employee entitlement is, I think, a really good way of explaining it. And that's not to shame anyone for having that mindset, but that is a mindset shift that people need to go through whenever they start a business, because you're not getting paid for your time anymore. In mm-hmm. fact, it's entirely probable that you're going to be doing a whole lot of work that you're not getting paid for. And that can be somewhat of a reality check for people who have acclimated to, when I sit down and I do this work and I produce this thing, that there should be some type of compensation for that. And in the world of business, that's not always the case. It's entirely possible that you're going to do a whole bunch of stuff as you're sort of figuring it out that are not going to yield particularly good results. And that can be incredibly discouraging, especially for newer business owners who haven't been through sort of the school of hard knocks, to learn that you don't always have it, you know, dialed in and quite right out the gate. So now you're dealing with these individuals, in many cases you mentioned, who are coming, you know, from this kind of corporate background, but in some cases, you know, they already have maybe created some success for themselves in their own business. And they're still bumping up against these mindset challenges. And that, I think, is a really, really telling point that it's natural. It's okay. You're going to bump up against some fear of the unknown, but it doesn't have to stop you from achieving your dreams. And when you're presented with knowledge that does help take the edge off, just like, you know, coming into anything new, if you know to expect that, you know, if you're ice skating for the first time, it's normal to fall down. It's okay. Yeah.
So one of the mindset things that I establish with candidates that I'm talking to is, I'll spend some time to really drill down into why are we doing this in the first place, right? Because the why to is so much more important than the how to. But the answer, and again, having done this for a long time and talked to a lot of people, always has to do with some sort of freedom and control. What do I want? I want freedom of decision making. I want freedom of income. I want no ceilings. I want personal flexibility. I want to work when I want to, right? All of it and comes down to sort of freedom and control. Thus the name of my website and my company, Franchise Your Freedom. What I tell my candidates, though, is the flip side to that record, the freedom and control record, is responsibility, right? And I remember early in my career when I was, you know, going through some transition myself, I was listening to, you know, Brian Tracy and Tony Robbins. And I believe it was Brian Tracy that all successful people take responsibility, right? I am responsible. I hear this in my head because I listen to it a lot, that, you know, there is no finger pointing, the buck stops with me, et cetera. That is a critical mindset to own if you're ever going to be an owner, right? And without it, you're going to always be an employee. There's just not, you know, these are some of the things that I'm looking for as I'm coaching candidates through this process, because not everybody should be a business owner. And I'm not one to tell you that franchising is the end all be all. It's not. It is systems that have already been baked out for lots of different kinds of companies. And so therefore it's fun. But so really getting that ownership mindset firmly in place as we're evaluating process the different franchise brands is really important. And paradigm shifts are also what I'm looking for as they're evaluating brands themselves, but also in my conversation. So getting back to that employee mentality versus the owner's mentality, you've got the job is safe, right? I see this all the time in the tech space, and nothing against tech space. My sister works in there, that is highly, highly successful, but I make a bunch of money. Let's say I'm a tech enterprise sales rep in tech, and I make $500,000 a year in sales commissions, and I'm getting corporate stock options. So a big chunk of my retirement is in the same stock. Now the entrepreneur in me thinks that is crazy town. You have so much of your income attached to one company or one source, right? And then if you dig deeper, your income is not only attached to the company, but it's really attached to your boss. So in my mind, that's incredibly risky. But most employees see that as safety because the paycheck comes every 2 weeks, right? Whereas the entrepreneur thinks, I don't want to have one business with 1,000 customers. So my income is coming from 1,000 different places. That's pretty safe. But the serial entrepreneur says, I want to have a real estate company and a property management company so that I've got a real estate portfolio. I want to have paper assets, real estate assets, and business assets. And therefore I'm really safe in any kind of up, down economy, et cetera. So, you know, this traditional mindset of what safety means, diversification in America is taught to be stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. I kind of think that's funny because all of those are in one asset class, which I call the paper asset class, right? And then we have the real estate asset class, which can be everything from single rental properties to, you know, investing in apartment buildings, et cetera.
All right. So you were just talking about the risk associated with having all of your assets in one basket. So let's finish out that thought. We had a little technical difficulty, and I want to make sure that you're able to finish that off because it was really good.
Thank you. So we were talking about the paper asset class, real estate asset class, and business asset class. And I think a lot of your listeners as small business owners may have a lot of their net worth or assets wrapped up in the business that they're creating, right? Which is really just as risky as the employee that has, you know, all of their income and all of their stock options locked in with the same company. So it's, you know, in my opinion, it's building wealth in this country is done in all three asset classes. And, you know, if you're in the business asset class, that's a really good place to start because then you can easily funnel the other ones. But if you're in the, if you're an employee and thinking about getting into some other ones, franchising is always a good option to, for a first business for sure.
Love it. So now let's make sure our listeners know how they can get in contact with you. So can you share your website and anywhere else that our listeners are able to learn more about what you're doing and reach out if this is something that they'd like to pursue?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. The best way to get a hold of me is send me an email. So dweaver@franchoice.com is my email. That's the simplest way and the fastest way for me to get back to you. www.franchiseyourfreedom.com is my website. Lots of great information on there and also a very direct way to get in touch with me. So dweaver@franchoice.com. Thank you, Alicia, for having me.
This has been a great conversation. Thank you. I love when we're able to shed a little bit of light on a topic that we haven't previously discussed. That's always one of my favorite things to do. Knowledge is power. We talked about that before we hit recording, and a lot of people don't realize what is all possible until they hear about it in a conversation like this, and then the light bulb goes off. And for some people listening, this may be the perfect next step.
Fantastic. I totally agree. I totally agree. So if I can help any of your listeners, I would be happy to do so. Thanks awesome. For having me on your show.
Thank you, David. And thank you to all of our listeners. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you do so. And until next time, we will see you in the next episode.
You've just listened to the Mind of Business Success podcast. Connect with me on social media. You can find all of my links on my website, at aliciakramer.com.